Welcome to the Think Bold, Be Bold podcast. Chris and Alan will be sharing unique and raw insight on what it takes to succeed. Both hosts are authors and businessmen and have been mentoring and consulting for their clients for over 50 years with their combined knowledge. So, without further ado, we have an exciting show for you today. Let's get started.
Hi, it's Christopher Cumby with Think Bold, Be Bold, and my awesome co-host, my only co-host, Alan Witch. Alan, how are you?
I'm doing great, Chris. You know, I never get tired of hearing that. Thanks, buddy. You're awesome too, my friend. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And right back at you. And, you know, we've had a run, Alan, of awesome people. And, you know, it just, I don't want to say it gets better and better because, you know, it would serve a it would say that the others weren't as good to say that, but you know, it's just extraordinary how the group is just coming together and collaborating, and you know, just so many amazing things that are happening from that. And today's show, I'll tell you, is no exception. You know, I've known this guy for a little while now. In fact, we met at an event, and we'll get into some of that when we talk to him. But he is such a mindset coach. And I have to say that because this guy knows what's going on in your head. He really does. Mainly because he knows what's going on in his, and he's done a lot of work in personal development. He's written a book with Deepak Chopra, and I'm going to let him explain a lot of those things along the way. But unique pleasure always goes to my co-host, Alan Witch, to introduce our awesome guest today. So let's take it away, Alan.
Well, thanks, Chris. You know, just to reiterate, you're right. It's like I'm almost pinching myself, and things have really started to really take off. And you know, it's a small testament to us that we were able to, you know, have good enough content to attract these people. But really, it gives the platform to our guests, and that's a very honorable place for you and I to be, is to have a platform that they want to speak to, an audience they want to speak at, and or at and to, however that works. Anyway, it is a privilege, and especially today, we've got a great guy in the house. I mean, he's worked with so many people. He's got a book that I can't wait to get my hands on, and I apologize for not having read it yet, but I am going to read it. It's called Stepping Stones to Success, or Stepping Stones to Success, and he's co-authored with a few people that our audience might know about. I mean, we got Deepak Chopra, Jack Canfield, and Dr. Dennis Whately, some huge heavy hitters. Great job. And, you know, without further ado, we have a little drum roll here, a little clap. Dan LaFave is in the house. Dan, welcome to the Think Bold, Be Bold podcast show.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. It's great to be here. Really appreciate it.
Dan is in the house. I love it.
He's in the house.
And Dan, you know, take us on a bit of a journey, and I want to get right into this because you've written a book. It's a, you know, great book from a perspective of, you know, taking exactly what you said, the stepping stones in order to, you know, achieve success in your life. But, you know, I know you're a mindset coach. You've got a various amount of courses and programs that you offer up. You're well connected with the world, you know, in this arena. And I want to know where you started, though, because I think that's a great place, you know, to bring people, because you had a burning desire. And we've talked before, and you're a great friend. But I think it's so prudent to bring people through that journey of something that was lacking in your life, and you knew it, even though you had a great career and you were doing some, you know, fantastic, you know, things in the corporate world. You made a huge shift, and a dramatic one at that. And that, I think, would inspire and motivate a lot of people listening today. So, Dan, tell us where you were, where you are, and most importantly, obviously, you know, the vision of where you're going.
Well, sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's a fun journey. It still continues to be one. But yeah, I mean, you know, the story began when I was in corporate, and, you know, yeah, I was climbing the ladder. And in fact, I had no intentions of climbing the ladder, but it seemed like it was my, my destiny. And, you know, they seemed to keep, giving me, more money and, you know, more responsibilities and greater positions.
Yeah.
So, I wasn't going to say no. It just seemed, plus it was a change, so, and I invite change. So, you know, the interesting thing was, I worked for a quasi-government company, and I was managing $25-30 million budgets, and had lots of fun. I had a lot of freedom, in fact. Even being a government organization or a government corporation, I had a lot of freedom. But the interesting thing was they gave me the option of taking a leave, and it was a parental leave, and I took it. I was like, why wouldn't I? Almost a year of leave and almost getting paid entirely or my entire salary. So I just said yes. But, at the end of that, I really started to think, what am I going back to? What's really there? There's a 3-hour commute to and from, and, there's a lot of perks and so on and a lot of freedom, but, what am I really doing? Where am I going? Is this really what I'm good at and passionate about? And frankly, I could be good at anything in business, but, because I've done everything from, real estate and telecom to commercial real estate to project management and construction of wireless telecom. So anyway, the point is this. I just couldn't see myself going back to that. And so I started to really think about it, and I kind of, went inside and started asking myself some questions, and I said a little prayer, and, the following day I get a phone call from a friend's father, and he starts talking to me about a network marketing business that he's been building. He's in the millions in revenue. And so I thought to myself, wow, I asked yesterday and I got a phone call today. That's pretty good. So I was like, wow, okay. So, let's see what Ken has to say. So he started telling me about this new product, and it was kind of up my alley. I was hitting 40 and I felt like, hey, I could use more energy. And, I thought I'll test it, and if it works, I'll run with it. And I did. But long story short, it wasn't really my forte. And in the end, there was a live event that was being held in Provo, Utah. I was flying through Salt Lake City. And prior to that, a friend of mine had given me Og Mandino's work, The Ten Schools. And so great anyway, it's a great book, right? So The Ten Schools, for your audience, and if you haven't read it, The Ten Schools, it's about a 5-minute read each. So there's 10 of them, and they're 5 minutes each. And what you're meant to do is read them 3 times a day, and at least 1 times out loud, 1 time audible. And that's it. But you do that for 30 days, sorry. So 90 times. So once a day, 30 days, 90 times in a month. And that's to soak it into your subconscious. So anyway, I went through that process, and I decided to look up Og Mandino because I obviously didn't know who he was. I find Dave Blanchard. Dave Blanchard's the CEO of Og Mandino. Og's deceased. He's been long gone. And I reach out to Dave because I bought his book and got some coaching. And long story short, I get invited to stay at his house because he lives in a neighboring town of Salt Lake City. So I'm flying to Salt Lake anyway. So we meet. I stay at his house. At the end of the evening, I ask a few questions. And he says to me, Dan, you make a good coach. And I didn't think much about it, but he saw something in me I didn't see in myself, and that was great reflection. I came home, I was thinking about it more and more and more. I emailed Dave, and I guess it was a busy time for him. We didn't reconnect, which is okay, but a friend of mine led me to Bob Proctor. She was studying Bob stuff, and I went searching for Bob. I ended up buying some of his work and, like a year's worth of programs, and I started on that path, and then the same lady said, maybe you want to talk to Bob's team. Maybe you'd like to look at coaching. And I did. And then next thing you know, his sales guy says, let's get Bob on the phone. And again, my mind's kind of saying that, I'm reflecting saying, why are these people paying attention to me? Bob's kind of a celebrity. Yeah. I mean, isn't Bob sort of a celebrity?
Sure.
Absolutely.
So I'm thinking, why me? But anyway, I just said, okay, I'm good with that. So they get Bob on the phone. He says a few things in our call, maybe half an hour long. And I really felt it in my heart. I was like, whoa, I got to take a good look at where I'm going and what this guy's saying. And it didn't take me very long. That day I decided to follow him, to learn from him. And so I devoted my time and attention to getting certified with his company and to doing all sorts of studies of, mindset. And I mean, Bob's got a library of 4,000, and I'm not trying to tap that, but, I started at least with his top 10 books, and I really studied them, and, I even took to studying books on a daily basis, reading the same thing over and over again, and that's, I have a mastermind group that we do that. We read the same chapter every day for 30 days, really study a book, anyway, so repetition is the masters, you know, and so I just took that to heart, and I haven't stopped, and, you know, I've gone on to making partnerships with all sorts of folks out there, like Lisa Sasevich and Justin Livingston. These are names maybe that aren't familiar. Maybe Jeff Walker, maybe that's a common name. He's got something called Product Launch Formula. These are people that I've become friends with so that I can learn from them and make a contribution. So that's, you know, where I am at right now, and I'm creating my own programs and services and making a huge contribution and helping people succeed, because, you know, there is a science to it. There's a mental science, and I'm, you know, mastering it and understanding it and studying and testing it. I'm a consummate studier and experimenter. So that's what's taken me where I am right now.
I love it. And, you know, I just jotting down some notes here. So again, just listening intently to what I believe, you know, that journey has led you to, and, you know, that vision that you're creating along the way, but also start to feel. And you said something, you felt it in your heart. Mm-hmm. And when you felt it in your heart, you devoted attention to it. That attention started to create opportunities where then you started meeting people that fulfilled areas of your life that now you're so passionate about and you can see ultimately growing. And, you know, again, you came from the corporate world, you took a small absentee from that world, and then you learned more about who you are through people telling you by just, you know, I guess in some ways fate and just popping in, you know, through that journey, looking for something else that you thought you wanted to do, and it led you to exactly what you're doing. And that's a fantastic story, Dan. Thanks for sharing. And I think that, again, this is a real great arena, I should say, for people to learn, bring in their journals to this show, and jotting down these notes that, you know, certainly Alan and I do, and taking the wisdom of yourself, Dan, and other guests that have been on the show, and really looking at it. You know, you say something that's really interesting. You study, and you learn, and you create that, you know, if you want, relationships with people that have gone before you and that are willing to actually teach you, which now you're doing for others, which is fantastic. And I salute you for that, because, again, you had no idea when you first got started, except you felt something pulling you, and then it's led you to where you are now. And, you know, I want to ask you a question, and I thank you, and I salute you for that, sir. It's a fantastic story. It's something that I know will inspire and motivate others. But I'm going to ask you a quick question, because I do want you to dive into stepping stones to success that Alan, you know, brought up, you know, during the introduction. And tell us a little bit about, you know, that book and that journey and how people can find it. And then I know Alan is just itching to talk to you about a couple of things as well.
Well, certainly, yeah. And again, the, you know, the journey to finding the book, again, it was sort of one of these journeys where, you know, it was just kind of brought to my attention. And you know, I'm the type of person that just steps forward. I don't really, you know, linger on things too much. I just, you know, I see something, I ask myself a few questions, and I really step forward. I have like a 4-step process that I take to making decisions, and I just go. And right. 9 times out of 10, it's worked. If, you know, if it doesn't, it takes me on a little bit of a sidestep. But, you know, in terms of stepping stones to success, I met a woman at an event, and, you know, in fact, her book was right on the table as I entered, and I was thinking to myself, well, that's really interesting. She's got a great book, and she's got these co-authors. And so, anyway, I'm at the event, and then as we are participating in the event, we get an option to link up with other people. And turns out she was the person I was paired up with. So, you know, we ended up having a conversation. I ended up meeting with her thereafter, and she put me in touch with the publisher, and I just kept stepping forward. I had a few different options in terms of, you know, the kind of book that I wanted to write and participate in. And this one really resonated with me because of the authors that were in it, and, you know, the success that they've created and the magnetism that they have in the world now. It just seems like it's, you know, it's never ending. You know, so the book itself and my particular section in it is all strictly, my section is all on mindset. So it's like, you know, what is mindset? How does your mind look? How does it operate? How do you, you know, how do you use your mind more effectively? I think that's the missing link for most people today, because they you know, we live in a world where it's just conscious thought and there's not too much consideration in terms of thinking accurately. And when I say thinking accurately, I mean, you know, what are you thinking on a consistent basis in the direction that you want to go in? And it, is it going against your belief systems and things like that, you know? So it's, you know, taking control over that. And I don't think it's necessarily easy. There's no magic pill, you know, the blue or the red one. you gotta actually do the work. And once you get more control, then you get some traction, and then you can leverage yourself. And that's what I've done. I've leveraged myself all the way. I've been, you know, I've made connections very easily, very quickly. And if there are people that are stepping up and going out and do things, just like, you know, Jack Canfield, Deepak, and Dennis Waitley, now I just connect with those folks, and I just, it's a stepping off point for me. So I just leverage the heck out of myself by connecting with those people, and it's been a fantastic journey so far.
I love it, and you say it, you know, so well. It's a journey for you, and you're having fun, and you're thinking through that process, and you know, you take. I love what you said, Dan. You said you take steps forward. I want to come back to that in just a bit, because I really, you know, I think everybody can learn a little bit deeper on that by asking yourself good questions and your decision-making process. So, you know, keep that in the back of your mind, Dan, because we will circle back on that in a second. But, you know, again, Dan takes steps forward. What are you doing? You know, analyze that in your life. And that's a question for the audience and obviously myself as well. So, Alan, take us away.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Dan, great material. I want to kind of circle back to some things that you've talked about. You've been able to bridge what I think is a big cavern in a lot of people's minds, even though it may not practically be one. And it's very easy for us to see that for you that cavern was very small, but you were able to bridge that piece of your life from identifying and following a mentor to working alongside a mentor. And I know a lot of people in the audience are going to look at that and go, how do I do that? How did he do that? What happened? All these thousands of questions. And I know you kind of touched on it a little bit, but can you give us a little bit more detail on how you went from being in the front row of the audience, so to speak, to being on stage with your mentors? I think that's a real key item for our listeners to grab a hold of and to implement.
Well, you know, the theme of your program is be bold. And honestly, that's one of the key aspects of my personality. I'm just bold. And I don't know if that's, you know, as a kid growing up and, you know, the environments I grew in, I had a family business, you know, my parents had a family business, and I kind of grew up, it was a butcher shop. And so I grew up, you know, selling and marketing, you know, not marketing, but selling to customers. And I guess I felt pretty bold at a young age. But, you know, I'm pretty bold when it comes down to it. So, you know, Bob invited me over to his house, by the way, after that call. And so, you know, I went over there with my wife. He said, I'll give you an hour. We had 3 hours. And, you know, so I'm just, you know, I don't look at anybody any differently. So, you know, if there's somebody that I like and I'm following, I just reach out to them. I just message them. Sometimes I ask them something that's not business related and they respond, and other times they don't. And I really don't care. You know,
In a good way, right, Dan?
yeah, in a good way. I mean,
you don't take it personally. You just move on.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't respond, you know, okay, then maybe next time. But, you know, the point is this. I want to become friends with them because I see what they're doing. I respect their character, their personality, their objectives, the success they have. And sometimes I pay to get in. And I'll tell you about that. You know, some events, I've sponsored events. And then, you know, because you're sponsoring, because, you know, you're contributing, right? You become a friend, right? You know, you're like, you know, they give you a big hug when they see you. So that's what I've done. And often I will do this too. I think this is one of the key factors, and I think this is one worth taking note of. I always seek to make a contribution first. That's my first step out of the gate. So most times what I do with these folks that seem intangible and that are kind of out there doing great things, I make a connection for them that they couldn't have otherwise.
I love that. That's awesome. And it's true, folks. When I met Dan, he actually came, you know, with the notion that how can I help you? And I love that question, because how many times do you, you know, really in life get that question? And when you circle yourself with, you know, influence, and you go to these types of events, and we could certainly talk about a few of them, and someone comes up to you and asks you that question, I mean, that goes right to your heart, right? And that's how come we became great friends. And now we circle back, and you know, Dan's providing some wisdom. So, you know, I wanted to interject there, because that's a fantastic point to carry forward.
Yeah, and you know, I have to tell you, it just seems kind of happening. I mean, once you kind of get the ball rolling, you know, and you're making contributions, you're connecting people. I mean, I'm, you know, just like I'm on this interview with you guys right now, I might introduce some folks to you, and you know, they're going to think I'm great because I've introduced them, and that's fantastic. But that's a connection they wouldn't have if they hadn't gotten it from me. And you know, those are the kinds of things that I'm always out there just trying to make connections and contacts, and it just seems to be happening all the time. In fact, I was talking to a gentleman the other day. He has a friend who is with Morgan James. In fact, it's the founder of Morgan James. And, you know, I couldn't have planned that any better, you know, because I'm going to publish a new book. And so, but, you know, again, I just keep stepping towards what I want, and keep asking questions, and keep, you know, just figuring it out, step at a time, and not being concerned whether it's going to work or not. I mean, uncertainty is the factor here that we're talking about, right? I mean,
sure.
It's like, you know, it's the unknown, right? Well, if you don't know what's coming, kind of make it up, you know, just make it up in your head, make it up in writing, and you know, just fabricate it, because you can. And that's what imagination is all about. That's one of the faculties of our mind, right? We should use it a little more effectively. And so, you know, That's one of the core things that I've been putting to practice, and it's what's bringing all these people towards me, and just keeps coming. And it's not just me. I mean, I'm not anything special. You know, anybody can do that.
I love it. Using your imagination to create the things. And, you know, my mentor, you know, a few years back, you know, says, live life, and Raymond Aron, that is, and I'll give him a little plug here. Raymond Aron says, you know, live your life in an abbreviated way. You know, you know, in terms of doing and acting and believing and all those things in an abbreviated way until it actually starts to happen. So I think that's amazing, Dan, that, you know, you're experiencing that in real life. And I love the insight. Love the insight. Alan, do you want to take the next one? I just wanted to circle back if I can until you're ready for your next question.
No, go for it. That's cool. Stay on that rhythm.
Yeah, because he brought up something during this that I wanted to circle back on, making decisions. Dan, you know, you mentioned you have a step process. Is that something you can, you know, share with people so that, you know, maybe they can get another perspective on, you know, how to step forward in their life and how to make a decision? Because I think that's one of the issues, you know, for people, and a big challenge is they just are indecisive. They don't know how to make a, you know, a decision, or better yet, they're afraid of making the decision that they might make a wrong one. And you mentioned that you have made some decisions that just didn't work out, but give us a, you know, some insight if you can on that.
Well, certainly. Yeah. I mean, decision-making is a huge stumbling block for people. And I have to say that, you know, if you don't make effective decisions, you actually set up a pattern and a habit for making ineffective decisions. I mean, it's one way or the other, right? You either get results or you're making excuses and not getting them, right? So, you know, and frankly, when we are indecisive, we're ambivalent, right? We're just kind of like, you know, whoa, I don't know, and this feels scary, and, you know, I'm not sure what could happen. This could all blow up, right? And that's going to be something that holds you back, and then you become really good at making slow decisions or not making decisions. So, yeah, so the decision-making process I have is pretty simple, but I'll run through it. And, you know, if you want to post it somewhere on their website or so on, they certainly can download it. But, you know, I just ask myself these four questions. Do I want to be, do, or have this? Whatever that is. That's number one. Number two is, will being, doing, or having this move me in the direction of my goal? Yes or no? Number three, is being, doing, or having this in harmony with God's laws or the laws of the universe? And I mean laws of the universe, mean like gravity. You know, if you're going to go against gravity, bad things happen. So, you know, so, you know, is it in line with these universal laws? And then will being, doing, or having this violate the rights of others? Because we know that, you know, karma bites you in the butt, right, if you don't. So,
There's a golden rule. Yeah.
That's right. So the point is this. First three questions, if you get three yeses and a no, make a decision and move ahead. Don't wait.
Love that.
Perfect. I love it.
Me too.
Fantastic, Dan. I mean, you're saying things that may seem elementary, but until you do them, they can be difficult. But I want to hang on something you just talked about making the decision, but also about getting in the habit of following through with things that need to happen sequentially. And I know you work with Bob, and a lot of the things that he talk about that I know that you talk about is practicing things on a regular basis for a period of time to create that habit. And decision making in itself is like you just mentioned, is a habitual thing, and the process it takes to make a decision has lots of ingredients. Tell our listeners, if you would, kind of how you go about making a decision. What are some of the ingredients and I know you just gave us some, you know, the four steps about doing things, but when it comes to a decision and making a decision and making that clarity switch, what's one thing that our listeners could use to help them with that light bulb effect?
Well, I think the core thing, and it may not be for everybody because a lot of people are in a kind of a logical mindset, but, you know, you're thinking consciously and, you know, but I think the core thing to making a decision is how you feel. And, you know, it doesn't take a psychologist to tell you how you feel either. You know, is this a good one or not, a good decision or not, right? But the bottom line is, if you feel that there's going to be a positive outcome, but there's some factors in the way, like maybe it could be money or time or, you know, something like that, right? Usually those are the kind of the core key factors, money or your time or your investment of energy. You know, if those things are possible roadblocks, you know, park those for a minute. Park them. Say, okay, if I had all the money I needed or if I had enough money to do this, would I do it? Well, yes or no? Okay, yes, good. All right, got one, check.
Right.
You know, if this took, you know, less time and I could do it really quickly, would I do it? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, check, right? So, you know, check those three things off and ask yourself, you know, if I didn't have those limitations, would I do this? If I didn't, you know, have those fears, and, you know, that's like clearing the path, right? Because, you know, we know we want, like, do I want to be an author? Heck yeah. I mean, you know, why not? I mean, I get to share my message. Right. I get to impact thousands and millions of people just through my word. And so, you know, why wouldn't I? Well, yeah, I mean, there was investment involved, but I just had to say, okay, do I want it? Yeah. Okay. I'll figure it out as I go then. I'll find the money. I'll you know, make the time. You know, it just seems to work out when you start stepping towards it and keep working at it little by little. And the repetition aspect we talked about, critical factor. It's a critical factor. I mean, motivation gets you started, but habit keeps you going, right? I mean, that's the thing. So I'm don't know what you would call me, I guess, a freak of nature when it comes to habit. So I just, yeah, I mean, I just go the deep end and I just practice. So you wouldn't want to know what I do when I'm walking from one space to another. It's just, I'm using my mind. Yeah. I mean, I'm just using my mind really effectively all the time, thinking accurately, thinking in the direction I want to go in, and, you know, just using my mind to its highest potential because it's there. I mean, studies have shown what we're using less than 10%. So why not use more? Why not make an effort to use more? And why not also leverage others? Like, I mean, leverage your time by looking over other people's shoulders. Why read a whole book when somebody's read a dozen books and they put everything into one sweet little presentation or one little story, right? You know, it's learn from the greatest leaders and you know, follow them. So just coming back to your question then, Alan, I mean, the whole idea of decision making, yeah, I mean, you got to kind of go inside and maybe just get quiet in your mind, sit down quietly, close your eyes, shut off all distractions, and just ask that question to your mind and just let it filter through. And once it filters through, enough, then things are going to surface. And if you have blockages, write them down, and then, you know, and ask yourself, you know, if that wasn't in the way, would I do this? Is this something I really want? I mean, if you go 20 years down the road and you didn't do it, are you going to really kick yourself or not? Right? Like, that's the big question, you know, because if you look back and you say, well, I didn't do the things that I wanted to do and I didn't succeed the way I wanted to, 20 years later is a little bit late to be, you know, maybe not necessarily depending on how old you are, but, you know, if you're thinking about starting 20 years later, that's, you know, a long ways away.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Think about it now, start now. Yeah. Ready, shoot, aim, so to speak, I suppose. Mm-hmm. What about sustainability? And what I mean by that is willpower. What kind of a role does willpower play in your life and how you've developed from thought to idea to action?
Well, yeah, sustainability is huge. In fact, I've been talking about that a lot with my clients lately. And, you know, even sustainable businesses, you know, it's just, it's like, how do they sustain themselves at a high level, you know, or even higher, right? So, but, you know, in terms of willpower and ability to sustain things, you know, I guess it's different for everybody, but the key thing here is your willpower is going to get strengthened over time as long as you keep practicing. And it's all about practices, rituals, and habits, right? You have to really take that to heart and know that, you know, what am I doing consistently that's either leading me to get what I want or not what I want? And and then, you know, then you're going to apply some willpower. It's going to be like, okay, well, I've been getting what I don't want, and that really is, you know, an upsetting place to be. And it's frustrating, upsetting, and, you know, it's aggravating. But, you know, you got to kind of ask yourself, what am I using my mental currency? I have a mental currency, right? And I'm depositing stuff in my mind all the time, my thoughts, right? So, and all those thoughts get multiplied and magnified. So, you know, what am I depositing in my mind on a consistent basis? And am I using my willpower to drive towards it? What, you know, am I or not? You know, these are difficult questions. And I think we should ask ourselves these questions more often. You know, maybe even weekly for a while, and then if you can change to annually if you get really good. But, you know, the effective question aspect of things builds, it actually gets you moving in the direction you want to. It maybe builds up some anxiety or frustration, which is good, because then if it gets you upset, then you're like, okay, what should I be doing instead? Where should I be aiming my thoughts here? You know, should I be, you know, investing my energy over here where I have been in all these fears and worries, or should I be, you know, just moving ahead and making decisions and taking action, and you know, even if it doesn't work, it's a test, right? It's
sure.
It's a test. It's not perfect by any means. It's a test. If it worked, great. If it didn't, it taught you something. Take the lessons learned and move on. Keep stepping forward.
Yeah, I think that's a real big key that you're talking about, Dan. And it's okay to be transparent with yourself, and you should be. And you should, you know, constantly be evaluating. And it's not a matter of right or wrong. Is this, you're charging everything back to a goal, charging all your actions, your thoughts, and so forth back to goal. Because we all know we attract what we think about, right? Good, bad, or indifferent, whatever that might be. So keeping yourself mentally in tune to what it is that you want is indeed going to attract the right things, people, ideas, platforms, environments, whatever those might be, and understanding when those arrive and being able to see those, you know, for what they are, and then applying them. Then it becomes a decision. Is it the right thing at the right time for the right reason, or is it just, you know, something I should do later on? But you got to totally right on keeping yourself transparent to what's happening, and keeping yourself locked into where you need to go is mental fortitude. And thanks for saying that. I know that a lot of people think that, but they may not say it, but that's such a big key towards mental development and, like you said, sustainability in your business. So thanks for putting that up there. I appreciate that. I know all the authors and the listeners and the audience do as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the mind's a muscle, and like anything, and I love what you said, Dan, the practicing and the, you know, habitual habits that you come up with, or better yet, you analyzing what's going on in your life and knowing that you're responsible. You know, one of the things that you know, you brought up, and I want to definitely ask you a question on. I see the same thing in myself when I have walks and looking at, you know, deep, you know, because I'm a deep thinker. I look at, you know, my life and I ask those questions, and, you know, I really enjoy that, you know, challenging myself to say, hey, you know what, if I have something in my life right now that I don't want, why is it there? And then it's just a process that, you know, again, I think people can ask themselves those questions. But, you know, one of the things that I know is very effective is, you know, looking at your life, you know, from, and I want you to answer this from an accurate thought perspective, because you did bring that up. And I think it's, you know, a fascinating concept when people understand it. And who better to explain it than, you know, yourself, because you're really great at this. But, you know, the noisy world that we live in, you know, one of the things that I know is very effective is really looking at it and saying, is this relevant and important? And again, things could show up that, you know, you may seemingly think are negative, but they're just as important to life. And, you know, the relevant and important part of that, if you want to look at it, is if something shows up negative, well, what is important about this aspect right now that I need to learn from? So that becomes relevant, and it then, you know, catapults you towards the things that you want in your life. But I want you to, you know, really expand on the accurate thought, Dan, because, you know, you've got a great explanation for it. You're fantastic at doing it. And, you know, again, I truly believe you learn from people that are actually doing the things out there. And you're one of those people. So without, you know, going on, I'd love for you to, you know, explain accurate thought.
Well, certainly, you know, and I'll tell you where I got the idea from. I was studying Napoleon Hill's work, Think and Grow Rich. And I think most people have heard of Think and Grow Rich. I mean, it's circled the world a lot of times, we'll
sure,
say.
Sure.
But, you know, Think and Grow Rich, I studied that over a year. In fact, I went through it twice thoroughly, like, you know, reading a chapter a day for 30 days and in a mastermind group. And so I caught that term in there, thinking accurately. And I thought to myself, whoa, what, you know, what could that mean? What? You know, what does that actually mean to me, and what could that mean to other people, and how could they leverage themselves by thinking accurately? Well, you know, in simple terms, like I was saying earlier, it's about thinking more often about what you want and not about what you don't want, not letting fears, doubts, and worries creep in and hold you back.
Right.
And like I was saying, you know, we have mental currency. We have every day, 24 hours a day, you know, we're awake maybe, you know, say 18 or less, 16, 18, say something like that. Or no, sorry, 18 to 20, on the other end, sorry, 18 to 22. you get 10 hours of sleep a night, yeah. Good. Anyway, yeah, well, somewhere in there, you know, like 16 to 20. So, you know, but the bottom line is you have that much mental currency every day, and you can feed your mind. But you know what's going on? And you guys are probably experiencing this as much as I am, and other people maybe, you know, once they hit kind of a certain age, maybe I'd say 40 and over, I'm not really sure, but, you know, think about it for a second. It seems like life is speeding up.
Sure.
And, you know, he's like,
sure,
man, my kid's like this age, now they're this age, and now, you know, so everybody's growing older, whatever. Here's what my picture of that is. It's because of habit. And it's because we've created habits that are repeating every day. So every day is a culmination, or not a culmination, but a repetition of certain habits. Everything you do, from waking and eating and, you know, hygiene and all that stuff, that's all habit. And as you form more habits and you just repeat those all the time, it seems like your day just blows by because, you know, you're living the habits and, you know, they're kind of running you. And that's what happened. I mean, that's what naturally happens. You feed your mind enough of the same thing and it just creates a habit of it. So it's repetition. But what I'm suggesting is, you have a small gap, and I call it the habit gap. So you have a small gap every day where you can plug stuff in your mind. And some people have tiny little gaps. It might be their commute. It might be the time they're in the washroom, in the shower, whatever. Like, you know, fine. Those are gaps. What if that gap was only, say, 10% of your whole day or less, 5? You know, what if you only had 1%? You know, fine. That's a habit. That's a gap, sorry, that you can inject new stuff in your mind. You can feed your mind. You might read something, you might repeat something to yourself, you might, you know, something you want, but feeding your mind something that's going to progress in the direction that you want it to go in. And like I said, I kind of go overboard with it just because I'm like a scientist, I guess you could say, in this field. I just want to test stuff. And, you know, if I learn something, I'm like, that's really good. Like, I learned about the 5 a.m. club. You know, I watched a video, this guy, Robin Sharma, he's a great author too. Mm-hmm. You know, I watched the video, he said the 5 a.m. club. I listened to this 5-minute video and I was thinking, man, the leaders are doing that? I got to do it. Next day I got up at 5 a.m. So, and I haven't stopped. I just get up every day, and now I've created a morning success ritual. In fact, I created a program around, you know, that talks about that too. And, you know, it's all about what do you do as a daily practice? How do you set yourself up for success? Not only in the morning, but the day before, you know, it's like, think about these things. And so, you know, in terms of how you can set yourself up for success, there's methods and ways of doing that and creating habits out of it. And so, you know, that 5 a.m. club, yeah, I joined it. I mean, it's not a literal club. I just, you know, it's an intangible one, but I just joined it. I said, if leaders are doing that, I'm doing that. And then I just put it into practice, and I don't stop. It doesn't matter where I am. I was in Mauritius, which is a world away, like 9-hour time change. I was there for 5 weeks recently. Every morning, same thing. I got up, do my routine. There's, you know, whether I was on the beach or whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm just, you know, doing that every single day, creating rituals out of things. But it's that habit gap. If you don't get into the habit gap every day or every second day or every week, you miss it. It's gone. You know, it's history.
Right.
I love that. I think that's fantastic, that habit gap. I everybody can do that. Sorry, Chris, I think I cut you off, pal.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
I love that, because what it does is it puts you in an environment to where you're a perpetual student, and you're always thinking, and you're always learning. And I cannot say that I've always been a perpetual student. I think when I became an entrepreneur, I didn't know what I didn't know, and that the desire to know a few more things led me to be a perpetual student. And maybe that's a key bridge. Have you found that to be the case as you're working with your clients, and maybe they're not necessarily a habitual person, or they don't have that built-in desire to read and study and learn? Do you see that happening with them naturally, or is that a learned process, you think, Dan? Or maybe a thing of both, I don't know.
It can be a bit of both, yeah. I mean, definitely a learned process, for sure, if they want to learn it, of course. You know, if their belief systems and habits are dead set against it, yeah, I mean, a bit of a wall to climb, or a mountain, you know. I guess I could say more and more, I'm actually attracting clients that want to read, study, and learn, so I'm not seeing so much of that anymore. But I will say this, for clients who have habits that are going against them creating new ones, because, you know, they're just kind of set in their ways, they, you know, locked a belief system in their mind, it's a bit of a process to work through with them, and you know, you almost have to do a little bit of reverse psychology with them, just to get them to you know, come up with the idea themselves, right, and say, sure, well, maybe I should do this, and you're like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, why don't you test that out, right? And, you know, it just, that's sometimes you have to kind of come back, you know, go behind them, right, and feed them a little bit of information, and you know, maybe it's an outside source, because, you know, maybe they look at me and say, oh yeah, you do all that, but not me. I'm set in my ways. I sleep 8 hours a night, otherwise I'm a bumbling idiot, you know, and that's what mm-hmm. I get sometimes. People say, I cannot work well unless I get 8 hours sleep a night. So really, you know. I see people getting a lot less, and they're 100%. So, you know, it's just, but anyway, I don't necessarily think that it's good to argue about it, but sure. I just, you know, I bring the point up. It's like, you know, what is driving your belief system? What, you know, what is behind that, and how does it support you? Is it taking you in the direction you want to go in? I mean, that's what ends up happening, is I start asking questions, you know, how is this going to support you getting the goals that you said you wanted at the beginning? Is it in support or not, right? And then that's where the realization comes, right? I mean, that's the rational mind, right? So we can reason things out. So that's one of our faculties. So if my clients can reason, and I had some who can't, they just won't and they quit. But you know, other, you know, most people, thank God, they start to reason and realize, this isn't taking me where I want to go. So it's not in support. So then what am I going to do differently? And then I give them tools, resources, and practices that are going to help them through that. And everybody's different. Some people are audible. Some people are kinetic. Some, you know, they learn differently. So I'm not going to say to somebody, go and write something over and over again, and they're going to be like, I don't write. I type, or I don't even do that, or whatever. Right. So. Right.
Yeah, as long as they want to be a student, you're going to work with them on whatever vernacular works best for them to take and implement and learn to move ahead and to grow. And Chris, I'm dominating. I got a real quick question.
It's okay.
Dan, if you, as you're running, you know, through your programs and you're attracting, you said a little minute ago that, you know, a lot of the people that you attract do in fact want to learn, and that's what goes back to, you know, whatever we put out there is what people like, and you don't necessarily work with people that or haven't maybe had the opportunity or it's dying away, people that don't want to do some of these student mindsets, is it okay to turn people away?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I think it's a positive thing to do. put it this way. Let's take a child's perspective. So remember the times when you were picking teams. Let's say you were picking, you know, road hockey teams or something like that, right? Or it could be basketball or something, right? And so, you know, you're turning people away in essence, right? I mean, you're looking at the selection, right? And you're like, okay, the last person I'm going to pick is Dave, you know, or whatever, right? Is Dave? Dave's kind of a scrawny, weak guy, right? So, you know, we did that as a child, but you know. Why not today in our world? And yes, absolutely. In fact, my process is I seek to disqualify people before I work with them. And I'm not ashamed to say that because I think it's a good thing because, you know what? If it's not going to be a good fit from the outset, then why even get started? I mean, it's like a marriage, right? I mean, you're going to – I get really into people's stuff after a while and you know, I'm kind of in their face. And so – you know, if they're not going to be able to handle that, then it's not going to be good. But yeah, I seek to disqualify out of the gate. Just, you know, and I'm asking questions, and you know, if there's no open mindedness, forget it. I mean, that's the first step, right? I mean, if the mind's closed, the problems aren't big enough. They got to be bigger, right? I mean, that's right. What drives people is their problems and situations and circumstances are so bad that they're ready to do something different. They're ready to change. And you know, I've had a 100% success rate. And so, you know, I'm looking to keep that. That's why I want to, make sure that it's the right fit from the beginning.
Sure. No, I think that's key. And I think it's great for the listeners to know, especially the new entrepreneurs out there, you don't have to work with everybody. And that's not a bad thing. You work with people that, you know, the old adage, when the student's ready, the teacher will appear. I think it's okay to understand that and to know that and to know where you are in your belief and where, you know, your focus of education and leadership is coming from. That for some people, maybe the timing is just not right, but it's okay. What you don't want to do, and I'm sure you can attest, is try to force those that are not ready for whatever reason and to only work with those that are.
Absolutely. And you know, sometimes it takes a little bit of effort to discover people like that, but once you start discovering folks like that, you discover more and more and more and more and more. Again, it's about your thought processes and how you see things and the kind of people that you want to communicate with. And it just happens naturally. I mean, you think about the next live event that you go to or someplace where you're socializing with people you haven't met before, just check it out and just see, do you actually stand there and talk to people that you don't even want to talk to, you know, that just have no, it rarely happens.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
I have to ask a question. Did you contact my kids for the 5 a.m. club?
No, but you know,
they don't even have email, but I'll tell you, somehow you get a hold of them, and you know, they're up at the 5 a.m. So I joined that club for a while now, so thanks Dan for that. I love the habit gap. I mean that's a fantastic concept, and Dan, I want to put it out there, we need to do a webinar with you and have you come and teach. I know you love teaching others, and there's so much great content, and we can talk forever today, definitely. But I think, you know, carrying on and moving on, and I definitely want to squeeze a couple questions in. But before I do so, how do people work with you? What's your website? How do we contact you?
Well, certainly, yeah. I'm online. I mean, if anybody ever searched my name, they definitely find me. But in terms of finding my website, it is my name, so that's my brand. It's danlefave.com, and I'll sound it out because I know we have audio listeners here. So it is danlefave.com. And if they want to go to danlefave.com/productivity, I currently am giving away, I got a short video on there on how you set up your morning success ritual. Plus, I got a morning success ritual planner that they can grab there.
Oh,
so
that's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if that's the one thing that I teach in my lifetime, I'll be happy if I just do that. And I think that is the key to success, is having a success ritual, and especially a morning one, because that's when you're starting your day. So, but that's how folks can find me. And if they want to grab my book, they can too. It's on my website. They can order if they want a hard copy. I'll ship it to them. Otherwise, I can get them a PDF and they can apply all the practices in there as well.
That's fantastic. And again, we're going to get you back. I think, you know, you've got so much to share, and we have so little time sometimes when it comes down to that. And listen, I want to leave everybody with some things to think about. And we have a ritual on the show that we like to leave everybody with, at least our guests, leaving one bold move that people can, take from Dan Lefave, and something you can leave them with right now that can change their life. And we might have already talked about it, so that's okay too to reiterate. But Dan, leave our guests with something that they can, ponder and think about.
Well, absolutely. And I think I tapped into it just a moment ago, and we've kind of been talking about it and tapping into it throughout the show. But I think the really key thing that your audience can take to make a bold move is to have a morning success ritual, to have something that you're doing every day. If you don't, I said the 5 a.m. club, and if that frightens people off because they're like, 5 a.m., I'm still snoozing at that time, I get up at whatever, 6, 7, or 8. So, it doesn't have to be 5 a.m., but it could be whatever time. But the bottom line is, if you can kickstart your day really well, and I'm alluding to something I talked about earlier, which is, how do you set your day up for success? And my program is called Waking Up Productive. So how do you wake up productive and automatically, get your day started and not have all sorts of limitations or roadblocks and things in the way? Set up conditions so that you can be really successful. And it starts the day before, in fact. And my planner talks about that. How do you do that? Because you sleep all night. And your subconscious mind, which keeps your heart rate going and everything else functioning in your body, it's working still. So why not give it some stuff to work on, some thoughts overnight?
Maximize
your potential.
I love that.
And then get up in the morning and hit the ground running, right? Like totally leverage yourself and hit the ground running in the morning. And every day you do that. Every day, right? And it becomes effortless and seamless after a while. And and then life more flowing. It's a lot more easier because you're actually investing time and energy into really setting up the pattern, out of the gate. You don't have to, get up and say, okay, what am I going to do now? What's priority? Well, we did that yesterday. We know what's priority.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Dan. And, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. Very much so, Dan. You rock, my friend.
Yes, you rock the house. DanLefave.com. Everyone, check it out. Dan's going to come back this year because it's a long year ahead of us, and he's got so much to share. But thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. And we're going to take the show off the air now, and I appreciate everything you've done. So thanks again.
Thank you, gentlemen.
On that note, wouldn't be a show without me saying, do something nice for someone today.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.